Okay, right on.
So here we are in big time Tokyo, Japan.
Big time Tokyo.
Okay, so we're about to meet our first pastor here.
I'm so excited.
So you already know this guy.
I do, and you're going to love him.
I know. I told him
all about you.
And he's bringing a translator, right?
Yes, he is.
Okay, yeah. Surprisingly, and this being my first time to Tokyo, my 61st nation.
Yes.
Right on. But actually, this is a, surprisingly, it's like very English friendly.
I told you.
I know. I did.
See,
but
I
didn't believe her.
You didn't believe me. I told me you would love it. The food's great. The people are amazing.
No.
It's
no, the
safe.
Food is great. Yeah.
It's easy to get around. Beautiful country.
It is. It really is a beautiful country. Yeah. And so even though it's the biggest city in the world,
it doesn't feel like it.
It doesn't feel like it at all. It's crazy. I love that.
Yeah.
Well, everything is good, guys. We just wanted to check in and tell y'all that we love you.
We do.
And so please continue to be in prayer for us.
Yes.
Our team is in Branson, Missouri right now, and they're killing it. And we got a big team of people there, and they're figuring all kinds of stuff out. Guys, we continue to work on that. So you continue to pray for us about that.
Yeah.
All right. I'll check in now and then. Love you guys. Bye-bye. Boom.
Pastor Troy and Leanna coming at us all the way from Japan. Wow. Love seeing that. Love seeing them having fun and doing all the things. They're having fun. They're meeting with pastors. They're making a kingdom impact. I feel like it's impossible for them to travel without having that kingdom impact in mind, even when they're on vacation. So loved hearing that from them. Wanted to share with all of you. Welcome to another episode of The Pulse. I'm Shay Wilbur, the media director here at Open Door Church and all things of this house. And we are so excited for today's episode. We have something very special for you, and it involves Pastor Troy, so don't worry. I know you came here for him, and I'm not going to be just chatting with you the whole time, although I would love to, but I know what you guys came here for. It's okay. Well, I'm just here to welcome you, to set the stage, and then we're going to toss to a video that I know is going to bless you, that you guys are going to like. But first of all, Rebecca, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's been a great week, and I'm just excited for the momentum and what God's doing. And
yes,
I'm so happy Pastor Leanna and Troy are literally resetting.
Yes.
So it's amazing.
We talked yesterday about the reset. We played Pastor Troy's sermon from a couple Sundays ago.
So good.
And listen, even they need a reset, and I hope that they're getting it. I hope that they're taking this time to really reset and to unwind. And I mean, they're somewhere in the middle of the ocean.
I know.
Somewhere on the globe. I don't even know now.
We don't even know
where they are, because they took that video in Japan and then they jumped on a ship somewhere.
Yeah.
And so they're just
talking about somewhere.
Yeah.
Everybody that's watching, wherever you're watching from, wherever you're at, comment, share, let us know where you're watching from. Comment, hey, I'm Oscar from Mexico.
I don't know.
Or from Belize.
Venezuela.
We have Venezuela. We have Switzerland. We have Canada in the house. We have multiple countries. And I just love how we're able to be the hands and feet of Jesus. When you comment, when you share, what we say here in house is that you are being a media missionary. This is a way that you can partner with us. When you comment, when you share, when you repost, if you missed yesterday's episode, you're going to want to go back. Pastor Troy brought such a prophetic, timely word on spring cleaning. I want to encourage you. We encouraged yesterday to share this message.
Yeah.
There is a reset button for everybody. There is a redo button. So I want to encourage you guys, tune in, share, comment, hey, I'm watching from here. And that is one way that we're able to reach the nations.
Yeah. And we do all this so that we can rescue kids.
Amen.
Guys. And I heard, I don't have the specifics, but I heard that there was a rescue mission in the works this week.
Pastor Jerry told us.
Yeah. Pastor Jerry was talking about it a little bit. So I'm excited to get updates from that,
because
we have really been amping up our rescue here in the States.
Absolutely.
Which we've had the freedom to do thanks to the new administration, new-ish administration.
Thank you, Jesus.
Really cool to see testimonies from literally Texas, from North Carolina, from right here in our backyard, of kids getting rescued.
Yes.
And guys, we are doing it every single day all across the globe. So get involved, partner with us, because when you do, we're able to rescue more kids across the globe. And so, it's just so exciting, the work that we are able to do. And we're just thankful for every single person who partners with us and who is able to do that. Before we get to the word with Pastor Troy today, our special airing of something that we'll tell you about in just a minute, I want to remind everyone to tune in tonight. If you can't make it here in person to Open Door Church, we have our Wednesday night service, and Pastor Ryan is speaking.
Yes, I believe he's speaking on friendship.
Okay, awesome.
Something like that. Yeah.
He just really is such a pastor after the heart of God.
Absolutely.
I mean, I would hope all pastors are, but he's so awesome. And his heart for our youth, he's our youth pastor. he's gifted in such an incredible way to to lead our youth. And I love when he speaks. I always love when he speaks.
We love you, Pastor Ryan.
Sincere and authentic. And so I can't wait to have him. So you guys, if you can't make it here in person, make sure you tune in tonight, 7 p.m. right here. And he's going to be bringing an incredible word. And there's going to be worship, of course, and all the things. So.
Yeah, we're excited. Pastor Ryan brings a revelation and in a way of teaching of an understanding to a simplicity. And I just love how the Lord speaks to him. So I'm really, really excited for tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's going to be great.
Me too. And then Sunday, we have
Tommy Evans.
I always want to say Tony Evans because the names are so similar. But Tommy Evans, he's married to Miriam. I wonder, is she coming with him?
I think so. Hopefully. I hope she does.
The two of them together are like fire. He is such a powerhouse as well. I mean, they both are so anointed. And I'm really excited because he's all about activating the gifts of the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely.
And he's going to be here on Sunday. And you guys know we're Holy Spirit people. If you're part of our tribe, you're a Holy Spirit person too. And so... man, it's going to be really good.
I'm excited for Sunday.
I can't wait. So don't miss Sunday. If there's any way you can get here in person, guys, don't miss it. But of course, you can always watch and tune in online. So, all right. Well, today we have something really special and we are going to be airing. We called it episode 10 of The Counter. But really what it was Pastor Troy sitting down with a counter crew at the NRB conference, which is the National Religious Broadcasters Convention. And they basically were like rehashing the whole season one of The Counter, which is a show that we have. If you guys want to check it out, if you're watching on YouTube, you can watch the playlist on YouTube. Mm-hmm. That only features the first 30 minutes of the show of each episode. But if you want the full 1 hour episode, go to odx.tv and sign up there as a stage two or stage three partner. But it's all of our guys rehashing season one, talking about maybe what we can look forward to in season two, which is right around the corner, guys. We just wrapped filming season two, and that's now in edit.
Is it good?
And, oh
I mean,
gosh,
I haven't seen it, so.
It's so good. Oh. It's like the next level. So if you like season one of The Counter, just wait. Season two is even crazier.
Okay.
And so I just thought you guys would all really enjoy this. It's really cool to hear their take on a lot of things unfiltered.
Correct.
An unfiltered take at
with a biblical lens.
With a biblical lens, unfiltered truth is what we were calling it. So
good.
I know you guys are going to enjoy this. Take a look and we'll join you again at the end of the show.
Well, my goodness, I call you blessed and welcome, friends, to a very special Let's Get Together and Do Something Cool edition of The Counter. Now, guys, we're actually doing this in, where are we? We're in Nashville, Tennessee.
We're at NRB.
At the NRB, which stands for?
National Religious
Brain freeze.
Yeah. That's a brain freeze.
Actually, I was trying to think of something really funny to call
the
NRB.
Good at quizzes.
Yeah, I'm sorry, man. We're here at the National Religious Broadcasters, which is kind of, that's a funny place to be a part of.
It is.
Because we're so religious.
And it takes bravery.
It does.
In national broadcast.
It does.
It's also next to the National Maids Convention.
Your
vacuum cleaner's going.
Yes. Thank you for bringing that to attention.
The annual Weavers Convention is happening here as well.
Underwater.
I like to do that. That's cool. Well, anyway, guys, I want to welcome you here today. And I would like to invite you guys not only to watch this, but of course, man, to share this, man. Share this all over the planet Earth and let everybody know, oh my gosh, those troublemakers are back together again. And friends, we're going to be rehashing some of our favorite parts of season number one. And then we're going to get into season two because, man, we're about to film it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be way edgier than the first one.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it, Alan.
Yeah, we're taking the restraints off this time. It's going to be fun.
We're not going to be near as nice in the second season as we were in the first season. So buckle up. This is The Counter.
The world has gone crazy, y'all. Every day, the headlines scream louder. The truth gets twisted. And the darkness grows bolder. But I've got good news for you. We're not running from the darkness. We're confronting it. Buckle up, my friends, and for the past 6 months, my team has been tirelessly working to bring you something brand new. It's a show that exposes deception, it reveals kingdom truth, a show that flips the narrative of the world completely upside down, nothing off the table, no topics that are too wild, too dark, or too controversial, because truth doesn't hide, and light does not back down. That's exactly what you're going to see this season on The Counter. So lean in. Open up your heart, because this isn't just about entertainment. It's about a great prophetic movement. All righty then, here we go. Let's roll it.
Welcome to The Counter,
where we decode the lies of modern day culture
using biblical truths, divine revelation, and prophetic insights.
Pull up a seat to this prophetic powerhouse where we expose the enemy's playbook.
We will counter fear.
We will counter deception.
We will counter woke ideology.
We will counter legalism.
We will counter the occult.
This is the counter.
So joining me here at the counter today, guys, for this very special episode is my good friend Tony Merkel of The Confessionals.
Yes, sir.
Do you know how many people tell me, man, you first started watching you because of The Confessions? And you know what I think? I think weirdo. That's what I think.
We're all weirdos.
I know. Like, we're perfect for each other. Yeah. So I'm like, oh, you're one of those kinds of Christians. Yeah. Right on.
Right at home.
Right at home, man. Well, I bless you, man, and I'm so honored, man, that you're a part of the counter. Thank you for being a part of it.
Thank you for having me.
It's going to be a fun day. And then my good friend from parts unknown, Alan Dio.
I wish I could say it's a pleasure to be here, but I won't.
So thank you. Thank you very much for that word of affirmation. May the Spirit of the Lord move all over that. It's good to see you, man.
Good to be here.
We got to be a part of the prophetic council last night.
How weird is that?
Man, it was crazy. It was crazy.
Yeah, you knocked it out of the park.
Out of the park, man.
It was so good. And that's available on Destiny Image YouTube channel.
Okay, so guys, go to Destiny Image.
Just get search prophetic council and you'll find it.
Okay.
It was wild.
And all of us, we all did that. Yeah. I'm telling you, I honestly think the most powerful part of the whole night at Joseph Z was when you looked in the camera and you told the bad guys, you're not going to win. We're going to beat you.
We're going to beat you. I took it out of the Troy Brewer playbook.
Gosh, it was so good. I wanted to aim my pistol right at the camera. That's what I wanted to do.
Yeah, brother.
But I'm not allowed to have it here, so I can't show it to everybody.
That's true.
We don't want an Alec Baldwin moment.
We do not want an Alec Baldwin moment.
Okay.
We do not. Well, guys, I want to welcome you here today. Joseph Z is here with me, and I want to tell you who's not here. We usually have somebody else here at the counter, and he's a little guy, and we bless him. We prop him up. Here he is, Pastor Darren.
Yeah.
And he's a little guy. And then we also thought about doing one with, about Nephilim. And that would bring in Brian Schwartz, and we have a picture of him.
The resident Nephilim.
Yeah, exactly right. Whoa. So we got a little guy, and we have a Nephilim beast, but they are not able to be with us today. Yeah. They're fighting things in court today, so y'all be in prayer for them. They're doing well.
Are they really?
No.
But with Darren.
You
never know.
You don't know, man. You just never know. Well, guys, I want to bless you in Jesus' name. I'm so happy that you're here. I'm so honored to be here sitting with these cats. There are people all off the camera that are making fun of us as we speak, and we're going to have a good time today.
Absolutely.
Well, friends, I'd like to start off here by saying whenever we go through the topic overview, whenever we first started the idea for the counter and I got with you guys and I thought, well, maybe one of you guys would be willing to do it, but all of you were willing to do it. And I was like, I just can't believe it. And honestly, it's been one of the funnest things I've ever done in media ministry. And it's been so successful.
It has.
It's been so. I'll talk about the success of it here in just a little bit. But why do y'all think it's successful? What do y'all think about that?
Because it's not about entertainment. It's not about our individual ministries. It's about setting slaves free. Amen. Ultimately, that's what it's about. It's about setting the involving ourselves in the human trafficking situation here in America and around the world and setting those lovely boys and girls free.
Yeah. And guys, we are, man.
Yeah. I think that there's also something to be said for people, whether you're a Christian or not, but especially Christians in the church, they grow up and they're learning the Bible, they're studying the Bible, but they have questions and there's things that they scratch their head and like, I don't understand that. That seems a little weird. And nobody really addresses those things. And I think season one that we really address topics that are not traditionally addressed and hopefully provided answers. I saw some of the videos were at least near 100,000 views on YouTube. So a lot of people were impacted by it.
You know what? What's real is if it's real and if you're in this thing long enough, you are going to see weird things that the church does not embrace.
Yeah, that's right.
And at that time, you're either going to just put it under the rug and try and dismiss it, or you're actually going to go, no, I want to make sure that there's a kingdom win in this thing. And I've been confronted with things over and over again where I've been like, okay, now that the Lord has brought this to my attention, how should I conform my life to the image of God's plan?
Yeah, you know, I want to speak to that just for a moment, Troy. You know, God's anointed you in this space. That's why you're leading this. You're spearheading it. because you're really hard on religion, but really good for Jesus. Like, he works with you close. And I believe that is what it does. It creates a catalyst for answers to questions people have had, and they don't know what to do with it. They don't know where to place it. And I just want to thank you for making this happen and letting us all be a part of it.
Yeah. Well, it's been a great honor. And now we're getting ready to do season two.
Yeah.
And off the success of season one, and again, I can't thank you guys enough, man, for being a part of it. It's been crazy. I'll tell you guys about the success of season one. So we actually, whenever we put together this model, one of the things that I wanted to do is I wanted to move out of a lot. I'd been heavily involved for about 10 years in many, many great Christian networks. And I just, under the conviction of the Lord, I felt like I was supposed to do something different. And I did. And I was like, okay, but I don't know what to do. And I was bear hunting in northern Manitoba, Canada. And there was a dadgum grizzly bear around he kept stalking me. This grizzly bear was stalking me for real. And it ruined my hunt because it would kill the big black bear that was coming. And I was black bear hunting and I heard him fight. And that was when I first became aware of this monster grizzly bear. And which means it was waiting for me to get down out of my dadgum stand, and it was hiding. And a black bear came in and it attacked the black bear, and I could barely see it through the trees, and it wasn't very far away. And I was like, oh my gosh, that thing's brown. Like, there's a brown bear. Well, the Eskimos that were literally, they're Cree Indian Eskimos, and they were my guide. Whenever I saw them that night, I said, guys, there's a grizzly bear out here. And it attacked my black bear. And they said, no, there's not any grizzly bears up here. I was like, I saw one when I was a kid, but he's in his 60s. We got out on the road, and it was on the road, and it stood up, and it was a monster.
Mm. Wow.
And it was right in front of us.
And that gets your attention.
And yes. Man, I was like, oh, man, because my stand was only 6 feet off the ground. And, I was easily accessible by that thing. And I only had a 30-30, if I can just talk about guns for a minute.
Yeah, that's not
It's just a small bullet. And I'm like, well, why were you bear hunting with that? Because it's my King David gun. It's killed a bunch of mountain lions, and now I want it to kill the bear.
Yeah.
Right? And so I wanted to do that, but I was like, you don't go hunting a dadgum grizzly bear with a 30-30. So in light of that, it kind of shook me. And when I got back out in the stand the next day and was sitting there, and it started raining, and I was going to be there for over 12 hours just sitting in the rain out in the middle of nowhere, I started thinking about all the things that have ever scared me and how that the Lord has brought me into kingdom wisdom and supernatural knowledge concerning the things that have scared me. And that was kind of where I got the download for the counter. And I was like, you know what we can do? We can put this on YouTube. We can put this across all of my social media. You guys have tremendous following on social media. Even all of you guys have way bigger than mine. And I was like, okay, maybe we'll just share all this and we'll put it out there. And then the last 30 minutes of it, we'll put it on ODX in a subscription model,
right?
ODX.TV. For people who want to partner with us to save kids out of sexual trafficking.
Awesome.
And I want to just tell you, I think we've done 6 episodes. Is that right, Shay? We've had 6 episodes. Oh, that's what I said. 8 episodes. Everything I do is planned. And we've had over 3,000 new subscribers.
That's wow. Man.
And quite frankly, since we started airing this, we've had about $1.5 million of giving.
Praise God.
And so it's been wildly successful.
That's awesome.
That really and is. I praise God for that, because every 1,000 kids we rescue, that's a $2 million bill.
Amen.
It costs $2 million for me to rescue 1,000 kids.
Got to get them.
And we rescued 908 kids last year.
Thank you, God.
Come on.
That's amazing, Troy.
And we got them.
Yeah.
I mean, man, we got them. So I praise God for that. Yeah. So I'm just saying this to you guys. This is not just about the content that we have from episode to episode, which is awesome. Right. But it's not just about that. It's actually about doing the work of the Lord in saving kids. And to team up with these guys is just incredible to me.
Well, it's our honor. And I need to say that the audience has made this a huge success.
Come on.
They sure have. Everybody who watches this online and who shares it, they've actually made this possible. So I want to thank all of the audience. They've been amazing. The counter audience is wild. They're crazy.
They are.
And they're the best.
And everywhere I go, somebody says, man.
Watch the counter.
Yeah, exactly. And that's a lot of fun, isn't it?
It is.
I was actually in Africa last week, and I was in South Africa, and I was going through, I was in Johannesburg, And I was going through the dadgum airport, and these people go, "That's Troy Brewer," and they and one of them was wearing a counter hat.
Wow. Is that right?
Yeah, and that was in South Africa.
Man,
going global, boys.
We're going global, man. So I love.
And you
that.
Can get your counter hat. If you
yeah.
go.
Yes, you can. Shameless plug for the really cool counter hat.
Yeah, come on.
Okay, so one of the things that we wanted to do is we wanted to rile people up and go, okay, I want to, number one, I want people to know that we are not playing when it comes to the contamination of carnality in the body of Jesus. We're tired of it.
Yeah.
We're tired of what people are doing. We're tired of the collateral damage that it's causing. Men ought to be able to be men. Women ought to be able to be women. Men ought to be able to work with women. We should be able to be pastors without lording over our people yeah. and putting some kind of terrible manipulation on them.
Joseph Z.
Thank come on, Joseph. And we should also be able to give
leadership.
We should also be able to give prophetic words and be wildly prophetic. Without trying to be, without doing weird things.
Yes.
And so in one of the episodes, man, we came rushing out of the gate, and this is Where Are the Men of God? Watch this.
Where are the men of God who can be involved in ministry for 30 or 40 years and have never molested a child? Wow. Where are the men of God that can be in ministry for 30 or 40 years and hasn't been having sex with their staff? Where are the men of God that can actually be a dude and be happy with being a dude but can't fall off the wagon when it comes to sexual things? I want to just tell you this, man. I'm not playing with you, whoever it is that you're watching. Get with the program or be devoured. And the collateral damage that it causes, well, I'm tired of it. I'm just tired of the whole thing. I'm totally tired of it.
So where are the men of God? What's real is we also, as leaders, man, we want to be leaders in really edgy stuff by being men of God. Now, we're not saying we're perfect, and we're not saying that we are the example. I'm certainly not saying that. But I am saying this. We don't have time for all these shenanigans that have been within the body of Jesus. I'm sick and tired of it.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah, I believe the Lord is requiring a righteous standard. You know, we've seen so much dysfunction. We've seen all that. And we want this revelatory flow in the body of Christ. And I believe many of the things you're confronting are the very things that hinder that. They hinder the revelatory flow we want from God. They hinder the accuracy of where God wants to bring us in the culture.
Well, I know that one of the things that we're planning on doing in episode two is talking about here we are talking about carnality within leadership. And we're talking about that and like, dad gummit, don't be like that. Some of the people that have fallen out are people that I would have never believed. And it hurts all of us in a really big way. And there terrible things have happened. It's come out and a lot of people have been hurt. Now that I've said that, another thing that does just as much damage to the body of Jesus as these jokers that are messing everything up are the heresy hunters and people that have a ministry out of bringing down other people's ministries. And I want to tell you, there's no fear of the Lord in either one of those camps.
Yeah.
And it blows my mind. What do you think about that, Alan?
Well, when it comes to the heretics or those who've been involved in immorality, there are errors there. There are problems in the charismatic movement. There are also problems in the heresy hunter movement. Both of those things can be true at the same time without being involved in cover-up culture.
It's good.
And what we've seen are a group of people who are driven by an accident. I'm not going to name any names. And they're attempting to help and perform CPR with a sledgehammer. And when we walk by and say, maybe you shouldn't use a sledgehammer, they're like, oh, you're part of cover-up culture.
Interesting.
No, we're just trying to help. And so I think a lot of people have gotten addicted to the dopamine hit of the views that
exactly
they get,
what it is.
Of the popularity that they receive, that they become this kind of righteous warrior that everybody can stand behind. But no, none of us are perfect. We can all stand to have some correction. And as we're talking about this, it would be helpful to have charismatic people talking about correction in the charismatic movement, not people who despise the charismatic movement and just want to bring it down no matter what happens.
Well, one thing that you described was ministry. And it's like, I'm starting as somebody who doesn't have a church, who has my platform online, I'm looking at it and I'm saying, is this ministry or is this industry? Because it feels like there's an industry being developed right now around accusing people, pointing the finger at people. And make no mistake, no matter how you have your thing set up behind the scenes, there is money being made there on the back of heresy hunting.
Yeah.
And so as somebody who doesn't have a dog in the fight, I just look at it and I'm very curious and I'm cautious. I think where's the line here? Where are we actually helping people and ministering to people versus making an industry out of something so we can get paid?
So as an expert in YouTube, because a lot of people will say, well, one particular hair center, they've demonetized their videos, so they're not in it for the money.
Okay.
What's your reaction to that?
Well, there's other ways to make money.
That's
too.
Exactly right.
Attention is currency. Attention. So it's one of those things where that's how, in the beginning, it's the days of me podcasting. That's how I started my platform. I wasn't making money. So my motto was attention is currency. So if I can just get in front of people and get my message across, that's what I'm looking to get paid on. And so whether you're getting paid monetarily or through views and attention, you're getting it's some kind of currency.
Man, when you, I fear the Lord.
Yeah,
and the fear of the Lord is a really big deal to me. It's why, you know, it's why I've been able to get through this is my 39th year of full-time ministry. And, I started when I was four. When I was 4 years old.
Come on.
I was amazing. I was a very anointed young man. But as I actually got saved in 1986 and I've been in full-time ministry ever since. I joined a Christian rock band and I have been consistently in full-time ministry since 1986. As rugged and as rough as I am and as non-traditional as I am, I've been able to navigate through all that by having a rock star marriage and by fearing the Lord. Plus I fear Leanna.
Yeah.
I do fear Leanna a little bit.
I think we all fear Leanna.
We all should fear Leanna. Now that I've said that, I also fear the Lord so much when it comes to joining the Philistines and reigning with Goliath against the people of God.
Come on.
And to say and to call that a holy place, like you don't understand, man. You have joined the enemy to in order in the name of your self-righteousness in order to bring down somebody else's ministry. I think that there needs to be some grown men in the church. Yes. That when you see fake prophecy, when you see somebody manipulating women, yes. When you see people that's being a snake, man, you bring them to the office and you lock the door. Now, that's the Troy Brewer way.
I kind of like it. We should write a handbook based on Troy.
Brewer method, man. But I'm getting mad right now. Just saying it. Dude, you got to protect the body of Jesus and you got to be able to look people in the eye and you put the fear of the Lord in them and say, I will not let you get away with this.
That's good.
I'm not going to join Goliath and the Philistines and start ranting against the people of God and cause all kinds of damage within the body of Jesus. But you're liable to limp out of my office.
You're getting me fired up. I feel like traditionally there's been this divorce of the warrior spirit within the Christian body and in the faith. Yeah. And I find that inspiring because as the youngest man at the table, I assume it's really
Thank
you, Tone.
What did he mean by that?
I'm just saying, I just turned 40 last year. So, you know, I'm just saying.
You just turned 40?
I just turned 40.
My socks are older than you, man.
As long as it's not your drawers. But I find it inspiring because people, the younger generations, even the Gen Z, it's changing. Things are changing and they're looking for leadership in their life that can inspire them to be what's actually inside. There is a warrior, especially young men. There's a warrior inside that they've been told to keep quiet, to keep down, keep it inside of you. And it takes leaders who have come before us that we can look to and say, these guys are warriors. They're fighting and they're saying it's okay. That's actually how God made you. And I find that very encouraging for me personally and hopefully the people watching.
Man, I was in Uganda last week and there's a girl that I personally rescued, an 18-year-old girl. I rescued her 2 years ago. And she was an outright slave. She's owned by this guy who's demon possessed. We moved her and then we built her a house and I went by to go see her and the monster that used to own her was living in her house. Okay, let me tell you how you handle that.
Man.
Okay, I took a security team. I have a security team in Uganda. I have a license for 2,000 guns, and I have a real security team in Uganda. And I went and got my security team, and we went over to that guy's house, and we paid him a visit. And I promise you, he will not come back to her house.
Yeah.
I promise you, he won't. He was terrified, and he needs to be terrified. We have to confront this evil, not through peaceful negotiation and go, oh, listen, we're here to be nice. No, we're not here to be nice. We're going to protect people, and we're not going to put up with that. Toxic masculinity is not the enemy, okay? Everybody's like, that's toxic masculinity. No, that's being a grown man, and that's protecting people.
Amen.
And so the alternative, again, is to join the Philistine camp and to take on the voice of Goliath and to call that righteousness, and that is not good.
Well, there are some things that absolutely need to be called out in the body of Christ, just like you're saying. But there is a protocol to that. There's a way we do it. And when you got people really abusing people, though, Troy, I just got to tell you, there's a side to that that I think is so on. I think you tell some great stories. I think one person was really hurting another person with an object. And I think there's a story where somehow that object was taken and that person was dealt with. I think that's really good.
Well,
and those things need
okay,
to happen.
So what you're talking about, I went to an orphanage. We actually, that day, I literally bought the orphanage. And look, I am everybody's friend. I'm the funnest guy in the room. I'm the guy that wants to hug everybody and love everybody.
That's true.
But man, if you're hurting a kid or if you're hurting a woman or if you're hurting the church, man, I went in there and there were 400 children in this place. And so it's going to be this amazing day. I'm going to come in. I'm going to say, I'm Papa Troy and I love you so much. And today's going to be a great day. You line them all up. You give them all a birthday because none of them have birthdays. And so you bust out a calendar, you start off, you say, oh man, you look like to me, you're like 7 years old. And they'll say, I am nine. And they're not nine, they're like five. Okay. And they're like, okay, we'll call you a 9 year old if that's what you want to be. And we'll call you nine. Your special day is going to be January the 1st. Mm. And they go, oh, it's my special day. We're like, whoa, it's January the 1st, man. It's just too cool. Then you go January 2nd, you just keep on going. So I'm prepared to do that. And there's always some little girl that's way smarter than the little boys. And the little girl will say, what is your special day? And I'll say, honey, my special day is December 6th. And they all want December 6th after that. So I have over 1,000 kids that have my birthday.
That's wild.
And it's like the most celebrated day of the year all over the planet.
Yeah.
And so I go into this thing, and as I'm walking in, full of the Holy Ghost, excited about giving these kids a new destiny, giving them a new name, giving them a birthday. I've got this huge plan. I walk in, and this guy that works at the orphanage has this big stick, and he is beating the fire out of one of these little kids. And I walked in, and for just a second, and he just kept beating this kid. And man, right there in front of everybody, I went and took it away from him, and I beat the fire out of that guy with him. Like, why would you do that? Because Jesus Christ would do that.
Come on.
That's why I did that.
He would do it.
Yes.
And I know that that's not what everybody else around here is talking about, but I'm telling you, and I beat the fire out of him, and then I made him crawl out. And as he was crawling out, I was spanking him. And then everybody was like, oh my gosh. And I'm like, hello, I'm Papa Troy, and I love you so much. I threw the thing away.
It's part of Troy's pastoral
just like,
series.
Oh my gosh. Leanna was like, great entrance, Troy. That was an amazing entrance. You should have took that guy outside and did that. And I was like, I couldn't help it. He was beating that kid. So anyway.
I think in this entire conversation, we've discovered a new program that needs to be filmed.
Hallelujah.
Where Pastor Troy just beats people.
I'll take you to here are the 10 techniques on how to beat somebody effectively.
Well, I'm old and I can't, I'm not a tough guy. I'm old and I can't actually get in a fight anymore because I have an asthma attack about 5 seconds into the fight. But I hire people now and we train them and they go with me all over the world. So praise God. Well, we're talking about toxic masculinity,
yeah,
and the need for men to be men in the body of Jesus. And while I'm sure everybody does not agree, I'm sure you would find a nice, passive, limp-wristed way to rescue children. And I imagine you're doing a great job at it as well. This is what I know how to do, and I kind of like it, to tell you the truth.
It's so great.
So, all right, I think probably we should change the subject.
Whatever you want to do.
Thank you. You guys are like, just
we want to make you mad.
You're yourself in a hole, man. That'd be a great idea.
Is he armed right now?
So what started this whole thing off was you. You're the troublemaker that started this whole thing.
Yeah.
Because I saw a giant in Mexico.
Yes.
And in the context of rescuing children in Chiapas, Mexico, this demon manifested, what the traditional church would call a demon. This demon manifested and literally changed from a tree to a being, to a tree, to something that bowed up and threatened me. And I called it out. I kind of did like what you did last night. I told him, I said, I see you. We're here to rescue kids, and there's not nothing you can do about it. There's a new sheriff in town. Jesus is here. We have a mandate, an assignment. The Spirit of the living God is here. You're not going to get away with what you're doing to these kids in Chiapas, Mexico. And, I mean, I saw it. I saw the giant. My son is here. Ben saw the giant. Jerry Seller saw it. He saw the giant. And then when I asked the pastors afterwards, when they were like, what were you guys yelling at?
I said, have you guys ever seen a giant down here? And they said, yeah, there's one that lives right on top of that mountain over there. The hill that we actually saw the thing. And they're like, yeah, you know, it was spying on the prayers of the people.
Yeah.
Now, I know that most people in the body of Jesus have no grid for that. They're like, okay, that's too weird. That's not even high on my weird list.
No.
So see, when you're in this different world, what's high on your weird list that actually pegs your cringe meter, you don't talk about because you don't know how to think about it yet. But I knew exactly how to think about giants and Nephilim and regional powers and entities. Mm-hmm. I already knew all that, but I didn't make it public. You know, I was like, well, you don't do that. Yeah. You know, you don't, I'm not going to make that public. But then I was at the NRB. Was it last year or the year before last?
It was last year.
Gosh, it seems like a million years ago.
It does, yeah.
And, man, I saw Tony Merkel, and I had been listening to his show for forever. And Tony comes walking up, and I'm live. I'm on a camera, and I fanboyed. And I was like, it's Tony Merkel. It's Tony Merkel. My gosh, it's Tony Merkel. And I was like, dude, I saw a giant. I got to tell you my giant story. And then that went viral.
Oh, it did.
Pastor Troy Brewer says he saw a giant. And I got like millions of views. I mean, crazy. And then everybody started taking the reel and sharing it. And one guy got like,
more views than you?
Oh, way more views than me. I was just looking at all the people that had made that a reel. And my team, we were all adding it up. And it's somewhere like around 20 million views.
Oh, man.
Wow.
And it's like, that was not what I wanted to go viral over. I wanted to go viral over the heart of the Father, over the passion of Jesus, yeah, over rescuing kids.
But God uses that.
But he used it.
He used that unique experience. It's interesting. I'd like to get your take on this too, Tony. I know Troy's seen one, but in the news, I think it was about 2 years ago in Colorado, there was these two ladies, yep, hiking through the mountains, and right, yes, behind them, yep, in the mountains, I did a program on it. Do you remember that?
I remember. I reached out to them, and they were willing to come on and talk to me about it, but it just kind of fizzled out.
Yeah.
People are still seeing giants today in the United States. I know it sounds crazy, but I would just say, do you believe the scriptures or not, right? So we read about Goliath being, right, a giant. That was post-flood. We see Numbers 13:33 talking about giants being in the land. So we can look at the Bible as a history book that has ended at some point, or we can say, could it possibly still be happening? And people are claiming they see giants in Utah, Colorado, up in British Columbia, there was a sighting, Louisiana, in the swamps of Louisiana. And so that's just on this continent. But then the soldiers over in Afghanistan constantly claim to have seen giants,
yeah,
amongst the villagers. This is something that it was a very common thing. In fact, one of the, I guess the palaces or something that they had invaded, was guarded by individuals that were 7 feet or taller. So this is a common thing. I was given a location in Afghanistan that borders China. So it's about a 30-mile border between that cuts off China to Afghanistan. It's like a natural preserve. And they say up in the in that area, it's preserved for a reason because that's where the giants live.
Well, what's coming back in these last days is not post-flood. What's coming back in these last days are the days of Noah,
yeah,
which speaks of pre-flood.
That's good, Troy.
It doesn't speak of post-flood. It speaks of pre-flood. And in this post-flood era, what's coming back and what the book of Revelation describes, what comes up out of the ground, what the whole nine yards is actually more like the pre-flood than it is the post-flood. And that is your Bible.
And the question is, whenever we're faced with all of this, whether true or not, is why does it matter to me?
Yeah.
What difference does it make if there were giants in the Bible or if there are giants sporadically out there in the world? And the answer to that question is, what are you going to do when you're faced with supernatural opposition?
That's
something the children of Israel did not ask themselves when they were going into the promised land. And so when they were faced with supernatural giant opposition, they crumbled. And so we as believers are going to ask ourselves, what are we going to do when we're faced with enormous, gigantic, supernatural opposition? So that's why this conversation matters.
Can I add to that? Because there is an element to those who maybe hear these stories and aren't walking with the Lord. They're not in the faith. They hear these stories. And if they come to this belief and understanding that, wow, I really think this is true, it opens the door for them to look and say, what else is true? is Jesus true? And then they start looking into it and they're like, oh, I thought Jesus was this made up figure in history. And the reality is that he's been documented throughout history, throughout, without the scriptures and throughout history, secular historians talking about this Jesus who, because they don't believe he was the son of God, said that he performed sorcery and they weren't calling it miracles. And you just start going down this rabbit hole for people who aren't believers, but they tend to go down rabbit holes. And all of a sudden they find themselves walking right into the grace of Christ. And that's the ultimate goal with all of this.
Who would have thought that that would be an end times evangelical method?
How about that?
People seeing all these crazy things.
You know, Proverbs 25, verse 2, it says, the glory of God to conceal a matter.
Come on.
It's the glory of kings. It's the glory of his people to search out a matter. And there's a difference between the secret things, which belong to the Lord, Deuteronomy 29, 29, and Proverbs 25, 2, which is concealed and secret. And there are concealed things. And I believe as we seek the Lord, he'll reveal them to us for his glory so we know how to speak to society.
Yeah. Well, in season two, moving into season two, and again, what we're believing for is that we'll be even more successful in season two, that we'll be able to rescue more kids out of sexual trafficking.
We're getting into some wild stuff in season two.
And we're going to get into some wild stuff. So I got some topics here, and I just want to hear what any of you guys... And so you can just tell me to stop, and then you can say whatever you want to.
Okay. We might even disagree about some stuff.
I know.
There might be a little bit of...
I think Alan's gearing up to disagree.
We're all gearing up. I disagree with everything Darren Stott does.
Amen.
For the record. Yeah. So for the record, the brother is whack.
So he really is in the court right now, huh?
Yeah. Okay. So ancient states... and legends in America. I think that Darren came up with that one.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Darren. I disagree too. I disagree with
Bert. I'll tell you what, with that topic, there's a whole history in America that has been uncovered. And people say it's fake. So you hear stories about like the Grand Canyon and them finding Egyptian art.
Is that the Tataria thing?
Well, there's parts of that Tataria, but like in the Grand Canyon, they said that they found Egyptian artifacts. Well, how'd that get there? But even locally here in Tennessee, there's this thing, I think it's called the Back Creek Stone, and it has writing on it, and it looks like it's ancient Hebrew writing, and how'd that get there?
Right.
People in West Virginia are finding these stones, these giant stones that look like they have petroglyphs written on them, and it turns out that it might be part of a giant complex. Even out to, like I mentioned earlier, in Utah, there are people, there's a wild enforcement officer out there, wildlife enforcement officer, who has been given a 2-mile radius coordinates that he was told that there is an ancient Nephilim temple. And he's been out there on foot looking for this thing. And so I might join him this summer, by the way.
I'm going to go.
All over the country. You want to go?
Yeah.
All right. We'll give you another story until it'll go viral.
Counter on the ground.
Yeah. So there's a lot of hidden mysteries in this country still that we think, oh, we've been all over the place. We know it all. We don't know the half of it.
Like Rockwall, Texas.
I was fixing to say that. That's so cool, man, that you, and me and you think a lot alike, man. Rockwall, Texas. Do you know about Rockwall, Texas?
Yes, I do.
Right on. So in the Pluxy River, and listen, we can take you down to this. There's this guy named Travis. He's on Blurry Creatures all the time. He needs to be on your show.
He's coming up in like a month.
Okay. Yeah. So he goes to Pluxy River, which is less than a mile away from my house, and he maps out giant. So there is actually dinosaur tracks everywhere. I found a big giant dinosaur track on my ranch and I put it in my dadgum fireplace. I think that you guys have seen it.
Yeah. Been there.
It's awesome. I've never had you out of my house, have I?
Not yet. You've invited me a million
times.
That's
on purpose.
Don't do it.
That's on purpose, I promise. I don't mean to be awkward.
So empty invitations, got it.
But it's there. And it is the dinosaur track of something called an Anthrocanthosaurus. That's what it's called. And they're all over I've got them inside my creek bed on my dadgum ranch. And then they're all over the Pluxy River and it's so cool. But he maps out and he has mapped out hundreds of giant tracks in the midst of the dinosaur tracks.
That's wild.
And so, man, we need to go out there. You guys come out, stay at the guest house and we'll film it and we'll go out and we'll look at all those, 100%. Giant tracks.
I would love to do
that. I would love that too. Travis is such a good guy. Yes, I love that guy. Okay. Here's another one. Epstein Files.
Oh, man.
Okay. What does it verify? What is the "we told you so" in the midst of all that? What does it mean? And how entrenched are the governments in trafficking, and also within a blood.
Yeah, the scariest thing so far about the Epstein files is not simply what was taking place, but who covered it up.
Yes.
That we have the entire United States government yes. supposedly looking into this. So there is some other government, some other organization yes. that's able to control
yeah.
the information that's coming out. That's the scary part about
that's
it.
That's strong. Well, you know, you run a parallel thought to that. Here you have a citizen journalist in Minneapolis, Nick Shirley, pulling out all this data just on daycare centers. And the DOJ is just like, my gosh, look at this. Wow, you found it. And the news media is forced to look at it. If something that small, so to speak, is pulled up by a citizen journalist, and now the Epstein files has been the controversy it's been, you know, what it tells me is they know everything, and so much is being hidden. Mm-hmm. And both sides have issues here. And we got to see that drug out. I think it implicates so many people, to quote Trump and some of the other ones. They said if they really went down this road, it would crash the U.S. economy. That's one of their big fears.
And there's a situation here where we're hyper-focusing on this name, Epstein Files. And the reality of the situation, Pastor Troy wouldn't have a ministry saving children if Epstein was the head of the snake. And I've been using this example. If you look at, and this is actually giving Epstein way too much credit. But if you have a pickup truck going down the highway and the spare tire falls off, Epstein was a spare. The machine just kept rolling.
Yeah, that's so good, Tony.
Yeah, no, he was just a construct.
Yeah.
He was a construct that was set up, by different governments. And here's what I can tell you. And again, I'm talking from experience. I'm not talking about, I read this on the internet. I'm talking from personal experience. One of the things that has really frustrated me and my work to rescue children in working with governments is that instead, okay, I'm going to throw this out there. There's a girl that works for me. She's 31 years old. Her name is Carla. She has a world famous case because she was trafficked from the time she was 11 to the time that she was 17. She's my daughter now. Okay. And she works for me. She was at the New Beginnings conference. She was there. And you guys actually met her, and she's a good girl, and I love her. She's a pistol. All right, now that I said that, what makes her case famous is that from the time that she was 11 to the time that she was 17, the Mexican government knew that she had been abducted and that she was being trafficked. But instead of rescuing her, they set up cameras and they set up surveillance, and they used it as an asset for the government to make all of the people who had actually molested her an asset to the Mexican government. So what the Mexican government documented is that from the time she was 11 to the time that she was 17 years old, she was molested 37,000 times. Okay? The government sat on that and watched that and protected the people that actually had abducted her and had actually held her hostage and was selling her little body. And they protected them. And the reason they did that was to build assets for the intelligence of Mexico. Well, that's what America is doing. That's what all these governments of the world are doing, which means they are involved in trafficking. That's exactly what that means.
Man.
And I mean, I know it to be true. And now last year we presented 375 cases in the Mexican court system, and working with the attorney generals of five different states and all the prosecuting attorneys, which is one of the jobs that we had to do, is go in and actually get rid of the prosecuting attorneys who would not prosecute the traffickers. And it took us about 5 years, man, to do that work. But when we had the right people in place, we presented 375 cases. We prosecuted over 2,000 traffickers last year, and they were all thrown under the prison.
Good.
Right on. But you got to confront the nation and say, you can't use this.
Right.
We won't allow you to use this.
Yeah, come on.
And they will push back. And it gets scary, man, when they start pushing back.
You know, and I'm so thankful for you and, of course, the whole ODX community for the way God's using you to stand up to it, Troy. I mean, it's an honor to be a part of this. We do The Counter. It's wonderful. It's great material. It's intriguing. But at the end of the day, we're rescuing kids.
Rescuing kids, man. That's what it's all about. And it's actually a revival that has taken place.
Yeah.
For all of you guys that, you know, you've gone to ODX, you've binged on all the episodes of The Counter, you're watching both sides of it, you're watching the full hour. That means that you're a partner with us. And we just got to just tell you thank you. I don't want to do this if I'm not going to do that. I tell I pastor a church, and I've pastored a church for over 30 years now. And I tell my congregation,
if we're not going to demonstrate the redemption of Jesus, I'm not going to just get up and preach about it. I want to be in full demonstration of it. So you guys are actually partners. You're actually helping us. Thank you.
So awesome.
Let's go to another one here. We still got a few minutes here left. Okay. The supernatural according to Hollywood.
Oh, man.
That's an interesting.
That is interesting.
That is an interesting one.
There seems to be this ideology that in order to perform whatever witchcraft they're trying to perform in America, they have to tell us about it.
They have to tell us about it.
They have to first, there has to be some sort of agreement that takes place.
Yeah.
And so there's this predictive programming that takes place through Hollywood, and that would be quite a subject matter. I wonder, those watching online, what you've seen that in Hollywood that you believe is actually real. Let us know in the comments. I want to see those.
I would say that they double down too. So not only do they have to tell us about it, but in the process of telling us about it, they get ordinary people fearful of what they think the supernatural looks like. Demonic possession does not look like what you see in the
movies. That's right.
At times, there are very radical things that happen. But most of the time, there's people that just need deliverance. They need to be freed from the demonic oppression and possession that they have in their life. And it doesn't look like The Exorcist. And so I think that, though, works against it because people are fearful and they step back and I don't want to touch that. In reality, that's what we're required to do.
You know, Troy, I got to speak to this just for a moment because you brought something that was so enlightening about how predictive programming happens, at least in part. It had to do with people that are captured, children that are captured, and they're pushed to a place where they become psychic. And I was just taken back by that because I was seeking the Lord. How did the Simpsons predict what's happening? How did these things happen? I want to thank you for that. That was very enlightening.
Well, I think that we'll do a whole, and that also has to do with something called the Hitler Project.
Uh-huh.
And I know firsthand from the Hitler Project, I actually know someone who has been through the whole program. And we have rescued multiple kids all over the world that are from South Africa and that their name begins with L.
Yeah.
E-L. And that is actually a part of the Hitler Project. I rescued a little girl in Uganda that was a white South African child. And I thought, what is this? And her name was, it was L something. And so I thought, that is crazy. And I thought, man, that's nuts. And then in Colombia, on the Amazon, in the midst of all these kids we rescued, there was a white South African child in Colombia. And her name began with an L. We rescued a boy. And his name began with an L. And I was like, what is this? And then it sent me down a rabbit trail. It's kind of, you know, like Stranger Things, L.
L.
You know, it's kind of like Elon.
Elon.
L.
South
right? South African. So there is a thing. And I think that we'll probably do one in episode 2. I got to ask you guys about the Mandela effect.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Because I love the Mandela effect. I mean, it's a wild thing. What do you think first, you guys know some examples of the Mandela effect?
What was that Shaq movie that starred Shaq?
Shazam.
Yeah. Fruit of a Loom.
Yeah,
Fruit
of a Loom.
What is it? The Bernstein Bears.
Yeah.
The people just branding really is where people recognize it. You know, we have a mutual friend that really was over at Switzerland and he went to CERN. And he was talking to me about it and all this, sending me pictures from there. And many people speculate that CERN made an adjustment a number of years ago when it did this, that it changed our reality just a little bit. And that's why we're seeing some of this.
Some people might say, again, that's radical. That's crazy to think it. But when you just look at scripture,
exactly,
man has always been trying to become God. And that's what has been the original point of all this, divide man from God and relationship. And if we can get man to strive towards their own godhood through technology and doing things that we shouldn't know how to do, that's the ultimate goal.
Then again, if you consider the butterfly effect, a small change like that would actually have cataclysmic impact. It wouldn't just be a small thing. It would actually change the entire fabric of our reality. So there's
or,
that.
Or is it just a psyop?
Yeah.
Or was it just we were programmed somehow through some way and everybody all believed the same thing. And now you can see that it's not real.
And that's what a lot of people say about aliens and UFOs, that it could be a mental game.
Maryland.
Interesting.
Well, friends, it's about time for us to wrap this thing up. And actually, man, we're just getting started. Can you imagine just hanging out with us? Can you imagine? Can you imagine our poor wives? And they all just sit around and shake their head and look at us and go, oh, my. Oh, these boys.
They go out to the store while we start talking.
Exactly right. Well, that is actually what the counter is. It's us actually just looking at a subject and us unpacking it. looking at it scripturally, looking at it kingdom wise, and looking at it through modern media and saying, what is our conclusion? Our conclusion is always Jesus is the hero.
Yeah.
That is always our conclusion.
The answer is the same.
And even if it was to come out, you see it all over the internet that they're saying the government is about to come out and say that we are not alone. We are not alone. If that actually happens this year, if that happens, I want to tell you right now, I will not be shaken. I will not be moved. The issue is not if we're alone or not. The issue is that of God's camp or is that not of God's camp? Because I'm going to be a part of God's camp.
Yep.
And I am loyal. I walk in the fear of the Lord. I'm excited about the day that we live in. And I appreciate you guys helping me unpack all of this.
Love it. Thank you, Troy.
It's a pleasure.
Friends, in closing, I want to encourage you guys to go to ODX.TV and binge for yourself. Go to ODX.TV and watch all of the first season. And then also get ready because we're about to film season two. We're going to edit it as quickly as we can. And then we're going to just load them all up to ODX. And then we're going to release them through YouTube and through various other sources slowly. But we're actually going to load them all up so that as soon as it comes up, you can binge.
That's cool.
That's cool. And I'm taking a page from Netflix.
I am, man. I'm trying, man. Man, we're all trying. Guys, I want to just say it's such a great privilege to have you guys with me here today. At the NRB, a big time Nashville, Tennessee, Music City, which, by the way, is surrounded by
440.
A loop that it says has the number 440 on it.
I feel like there's an episode about that.
There is an episode on that. 440 is a demonic frequency.
Oh, man.
444 is the key of King David. That was what that was what King Jesus set up. And what is around Music City? 440. That is the loop that goes around this. And I'm just like, no, it's not coincidence. There is a lot of stuff going on, and you and I are called to be key players in this last day that say, you know what? There is a new sheriff in town. Jesus is Lord. He's resurrected from the dead. He's coming back again, and we ain't playing. Guys, I call you guys blessed, and I call you guys the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye, everybody.
Well, I hope that got you a little bit excited.
I know.
For what you can expect maybe on season two. We really dove into some of those crazy topics.
I know. I love the dynamic all about with all of them. And I love how they're bold and they're just, they say the truth and that encourage us to stand and say the truth.
Yeah.
It's so nice, the whole dynamic between all the men.
And to have a biblical lens for a lot of this stuff. I mean, we need to have a biblical lens for it. We need to not be surprised at the headlines. We need to not be scared at what we see happening around the world and all of the things. Like, we need to not be surprised at that. We need to have the tools as believers to respond.
I'm really honestly shocked that the world's not scared. They're not scared to speak it, but we want to be soft and humble and let's not speak. And meek. Yeah, there's a time for meek and humbleness.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't.
But there's also time for boldness.
Exactly.
And speaking truth.
And that's just what it is.
Right now, this is the time where believers, we need to be unashamed and unafraid. So I hope you guys liked it. If you did, why don't you just take this opportunity, go back, binge the whole season one of The Counter. Again, if you're watching on YouTube, you can binge the first 30 minutes of each episode. But if you're on ODX, of course, you can binge it anytime you want, 24/7, if you're a stage two or stage three member. So go back and do that. Let us know your favorite episode too. I would love to know in the comments, what's your favorite episode from season one of The Counter? Let us know. Because it's cool to see the response that we've gotten. And man, even as Pastor Troy and even Schwartz,
yes.
Pastor Brian Schwartz was traveling in Branson, Missouri this weekend or this past week. And someone approached him and said, hey, are you the guy from The Counter?
Yes.
That's crazy. Someone recognized him from that, which is really cool.
It's really cool just to how God is just opening doors. Yeah. And honestly, we're able to take a stand and through these mics, through these channels, through the media to take it. To take a stand and say the truth. I just love it.
It's awesome. It is so cool. So anyway, that being said, guys, thanks for everyone who supported season one of The Counter. Get ready to do the same thing for season two. Get ready to help us spread the word. We're going to be coming up with all kinds of ways to get the word out about it. It's going to be, we've got a little bit of time. We've got a couple months to prep it. Then we'll start really blabbing about it a lot more. Okay. And we're so excited for all that God has in store. And guys, please keep Pastor Troy and Leanne in your prayers.
Oh, yes.
As they travel, we just want angels of protection all around them that they can actually rest and unplug. And in this season where they are hopefully hitting the reset button, like we talked about yesterday, that God is able to bring supernatural provision. Amen. And my heart, because, you know, Pastor Troy and Leanna, they feel this pressure to always be raising funds for mm-hmm. the work that we do, because the work doesn't stop. And absolutely. So it's hard for them to unplug. And so I always just pray that, like, when they are doing that, mm-hmm. that God would bring in supernatural circumstances, supernatural amen. Partners, people who want to get in this mission, who want to fund the rescue homes, who want to fund the rescues, to take some of that pressure off.
Absolutely.
So I'm praying and believing. So please stand with us in that. And again, if you want to sow into the work that we're doing here, go to troybrewer.com. You can do snail mail to the address on your screen, or you can call 877-413-0888. Guys, thank you so much again for joining us. Don't forget, 7 p.m. tonight, Open Door Church. Pastor Ryan is bringing a fire word. You don't want to miss it. Then Sunday, Tommy Evans is going to be live in the house, revivalist. He's incredible man of God. You don't want to miss that either. We will see you next time, guys. Take care.